webcasting to the world live the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Saturday, the Sabbath, if you will. March 20th, 2010, the only March 20th, 2010 in the history of the world. Well, welcome in on this special Shabbat broadcast of Glenn Klein Online. We're coming to you live tonight from the beautiful Bay of the Holy Spirit in Tampa Bay, Florida. And we're doing this because we can't do a live show on Wednesday night, and we wanted to be able to incorporate all you beautiful humans who like to call the show. We can always record it. And we are actually going to be recording a show between now and Wednesday of just all emails, because as we've mentioned on past webcasts, we have so many emails logged up and queued up that we just don't have time to get to them because you wonderful folks are calling us with your comments and your questions and your insight, which we love, and which is why we have the line available to you at 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran working on the weekend in our Glenn Klein Online Tampa Bay studio, waiting to take your calls. 1-800-436-3260. Call early and often. And as the post that went out today noted, for perhaps some of you folks who normally can't listen live on Wednesday, perhaps you're listening tonight before you go out on the town, get your dose of the Holy Ghost before you go out, and or perhaps not. Maybe you're spending the evening in watching the March Madness, especially in the United States and Canada. Big college basketball weekend here in the good old U.S. of A. And now online with us, a man that couldn't care less about the NCAA basketball tournament, from the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, the president and founder, the most holy high reverend, Dr. Michael Williams. Doctor!
Good evening, Glenn. How are you today?
Well, Michael, do you really want to know?
No, we'll skip that part. Yes, of course, I always want to know how you're doing.
Yeah, well, you know. Another day in paradise. What are you going to do?
There you go. Well, that's enough said, I suppose.
Well, we've got a lot to get to this evening, and we want to encourage the beautiful humans to call the toll-free number. Now, we'd said, Michael, that we want to hear from some people that normally can't call on Wednesday night because they don't listen live, because they either can't or wish not to during the week. But we also want to encourage people who normally call, who do listen live, to call as well.
Oh, yeah. We'll just have a free-for-all tonight on Saturday. I mean, this is this will be our Saturday night out.
Saturday night is a night for partying, so we're going to party. There's nothing that makes us happier than proclaiming and receiving the good news of God's righteousness for us and for
That's
everybody.
A party.
And, you know, we've been following this story out of the Vatican in the last week or so about the sex scandal that has now extended its way into Europe, into Ireland. And Pope Benedict XVI issued an apology today. Did you see that?
I did. I didn't see the full extent of it. I have to admit I was not quite too interested in hearing the full thing.
Well, here's what it said. This is just absolutely scandalous, this guy. He issues an apology. So this is, I want to give proper credit. Where am I getting this from? From the New York Times. Faced with a church sexual abuse scandal spreading across Europe, Pope Benedict XVI today apologized directly to victims and their families in Ireland, expressing shame and remorse for what he called sinful and criminal acts committed by clergy. But the Pope did not require that Roman Catholic leaders be disciplined for past mistakes, as some victims were hoping, nor did he clarify what critics see as contradictory Vatican rules they fear allow abuse to continue and to continue unpunished.
Yep.
You have suffered grievously, and I am truly sorry, the Pope said in a long-awaited 8-page pastoral letter to Irish Catholics. Your trust has been betrayed, and your dignity has been violated. The letter was written in language that was at once passionate, personal, and sweeping, and the Pope did take the relatively rare step of ordering a special apostolic delegation to be sent to investigate abuse in unspecified dioceses in Ireland. This quote came from Colm O'Gorman. I find that deceitful because we know that this is a global and systemic problem in the global church, said O'Gorman, the co-founder of a victims group who said he was sexually abused by a priest as a teenager in Ireland in the early 1980s. It's all about protecting the institution and, above all, its wealth. The greatest contribution the Pope could have made was to stop the abuse of victims, and he's not even done that, he added.
Yep.
Well, you know, obviously we're not surprised at all about not only the allegations, but also the response of the Catholic Church. And what this guy says, Michael, is really true. It, at its root, it is all about the continued consolidation of power and the wealth of the Roman Catholic Church, which has been hugely hit in the United States and now may have a worldwide implication here.
Yeah, it's, you know, it just comes to the point where you are at a loss for any more words that anyone is tolerating this at all. And to think that Ratzinger is elevated to a position above all other human beings, and to have such a lame response to this,
hold on for 1 second, Sean. I'm not getting a webcast report here. It does not seem like we are webcasting. At 7 minutes after. There we go. We're not webcasting, buddy.
Yes, we are.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, we are.
Well, we'll just edit that out. Make a note of it, Sean. My computer was not registering, but now it is. That's a beautiful thing. All right, so you're talking about Ratzinger.
Yes, and I just can't use any other name than his true name. Not that his name in and of itself is a slam to him, but he's just another man, and this issue of even popes and even priests, it just wigs me out. I mean, it's so clear. I mean, Paul's teaching in Hebrews made it so clear that the priesthood of Jesus put an end to all priesthood. And any mediation between God and man was finished as far as any other man being involved other than the man Jesus Christ. So, you know, the termination of all of that and this entire behemoth of a worldwide religious system that is built on just such nonsense. And don't get me wrong, I know lots of Catholic people, and it has nothing to do with how wonderful Catholic people are. But this religion is nuts.
Religion is nuts in general. There's a couple of big points that I want to make with this thing. First of all, is that we've talked about a lot, personally and on the webcast, what the disintegration and destruction of organized religion is going to look like.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we think that it's going to come in the guise of not a scandal necessarily, but a revelation or an understanding of a major religious figure like Pope Benedict or a pope, or a guy like Joel Osteen, or a guy like Pat Robertson, or a guy like John Hagee, somebody that's huge, to come out and say, you know, like we have over these decades now, that we once were lost, but now we're found. We believed in Christianity, and now we understand the gospel. And here's the deal: everybody's righteous in God, regardless of what they believe or don't believe. And here's why: using the Bible as the text, using the scriptures as the basis for our understanding. But maybe it's going to come something as a scandal. You know, for the Roman Catholic Church to think that this guy Ratzinger is infallible is an absolute joke at this point.
Oh, it absolutely is. Always has been.
Well, of course. But, I mean, this guy, there's no mention of the scandal that is brewing in Germany over the sexual misconduct of priests that were under his archdiocese. And his brother, who has now admitted to slapping the hell out of kids that were under his tutelage in a boys' choir in Germany.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's already admitted to that.
Yeah. You know, it's just an organization of child abuse amongst its leaders, whether it's physical, sexual, mental, emotional. It is, it's horrific. I mean, I've sat and watched these adult men in their 40s and 50s and crumble to just unstable state of being just by recounting their experience in the Catholic Church and the abuse. And you know, gosh, we can rail against the darkness, and I do believe it's darkness. And as you said, it's not just Catholics, but here is one that has such a pretense of wholesomeness and something good about it, you know, and there just is nothing. To the degree that structure and tradition gives people a sense of belonging, that's the only thing it's done. But, you know, you can get that out of the KKK. And because people are attracted to tradition and ceremony, and I am all for those things. They just need to be applied to the right things, not to entrap people into a particular way of thinking. So, and what's it going to look like? You know, gosh, this is something that my heart has embraced for 3 decades now, is the decline and fall of religion around the world. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to come. I don't know how it's going to happen. Whether it's scandals in, whether it is just absolute uprising without revelation. But, you know, the thing that I do know is that the gospel, and anyone who's willing to listen to it, cuts through all of this trash. It exposes it. I don't have to tell people what's wrong with the Catholic Church. The gospel tells you what's wrong with the Catholic Church. I don't have to explain to people what's wrong. This indefensible behavior of the Mormon Church toward gay people, the Catholic Church toward people who've had abortions, and on and on and on. The Nation of Islam and its abuse of women. We shouldn't even have to try to point out that this is wrong. But you see, when somebody gets settled in a religious ideology, see, these abuses are justifiable because you have to keep the sanctity of the religion intact. The fact that it's producing all of this stuff is something that has to be ignored and denied and dismissed. And as the one writer says, the whole mission from that point in is the salvation of the organization, of the power, and of the money. And that all we're seeing out of this. And again, you know, my goal is not to rail against the darkness, but just to bring the light. There's people who are helping us. We have monthly supporters. We have people who call in. We have people that write. We have people that are sharing with other people. And to the extent that I have a voice, I'll continue to do it, and without hesitation, and without the slightest hesitancy to quit. It's just not going to happen.
Well, the irony is that Ratzinger called the behavior of the priests sinful and criminal. That goes to show that he does not understand the gospel, because the behavior was not sinful, but it was criminal.
By labeling it sinful is what keeps them from dealing with it as criminal. And I don't know when people are going to understand that.
Yeah.
People rail on me all the time, Glenn, about this issue. And anybody who speaks up for the gospel, well, you're just saying it's okay to. No, when you label something sin, that's when you take it out of its criminal context and take away the veracity to prosecute crime. Because now, I mean, look at what we've got. My gosh, we've got Baptist churches out crusading for people to get out of jail who murdered and slaughtered people because one of their missionaries went in from the Baptist church and witnessed. They got saved, so well, now they need to be let out. They're one of us now. Let's let them out. The issue of sin takes away logic. The issue of sin takes away the ability to deal with crime. We will never be able to deal with crime in our society until we separate the issue of sin from it.
Right. Then you get a guy like Tiger Woods, who did not commit a quote-unquote crime, but as far as the church is concerned, committed sin, and he's being penalized financially and socially as though he did commit a crime.
Yeah, he's being treated as though he committed a crime. And
it's all screwed up, ladies and gentlemen, so we're here to straighten it all out. That's what we do on the webcast. That's what we do with Gospel Revolution. And glad to have you be a part of it, and glad to have a guy, unlike the Pope, that does understand the gospel online with us tonight from Tennessee, on the road again, from boldgrace.com, Mr. George Howell. George!
Hey, gentlemen, what's up?
Hey, George.
There's a lot.
Everybody hear me,
George? Yeah, we're good. Can you hear us?
Yeah, we got you. Hey,
George.
I called in tonight, and I gave Glenn a little bit of a teaser earlier, Mike. When you're riding 16 hours and you got nothing better to do, you think about stuff. And it occurred to me that, you know, a lot of us that have come to understand the gospel of grace and peace, when we first come out from whatever it was we were part of, we're always searching, trying to find fellowship. We'll go to a different church, and, you know, maybe it's at this church. Well, maybe it's here. Well, somebody said grace is over here. Well, grace is over there.
That is the biggest question we get, George, is where can
is
I find a group of people that believe this? We got an email today from Edmonton, Canada. A guy stumbled on our website when he Googled universal salvation. And he's, where can I find a group of people?
Well, I'm gonna give him and all of your listeners a guaranteed, foolproof way to know whether a group of people teaches a mixture or teaches grace and peace.
Go for it, George. Tell us.
What do you mean by a mixture?
Well, whether they teach, well, you know, it's grace alone. But, you know, this is the things that Christians do. A Christian does this, you know, a Christian will do that, and a Christian does this, and a believer will do this, and a believer does that. I mean pure grace.
So when you're talking about a mixture, you're saying a mixture of grace and the law.
and the law, exactly.
As they or, see it.
Versus grace and peace,
right.
Which I believe Mike Williams teaches. Okay?
All
now
right.
Listen. First off, you'll have, in order to find it for this group, whoever you're going to, you're not going to have to talk to anyone. You're not going to have to ask the pastor what they believe. You're not going to have to ask your friends what they believe. All you have to do is, when you hear this place here or there, I want you to go there. I want you to walk in on a Sunday morning. And as soon as you open the door, you will know what they teach.
How's that, George?
You ready for this?
Sure.
Are you sure you're ready?
Put it on.
Okay, listen. If you open the door and there are people in that building, they teach law and grace mixture. Because the gospel, the pure gospel, does not congregate. It throws people up. The pure gospel throws people into the world.
Yeah.
If there's a mixture, if there's people meeting on a Sunday morning, I'll guarantee you there's a mixture in that building. Now, yeah. If anybody can show me where I'm wrong, I'll be glad to accept it. But I can tell you something. If they're meeting on Sunday morning or on a regular basis somewhere, if you go there long enough, you're going to find it. I'm trying to take people a lot of grief. I'm not saying that people that believe in grace and peace don't meet at certain times, because we do. But we meet in life. And sometimes we get together at a Gospel Revolution convention. But the gospel, by its very nature, spreads people out.
Yeah.
So there you have it. You can waste a lot of time going from church to church to church, or you can open that door, and if people are in there, if you want to stay there, that's good. But understand that you're going to get a mixture in that place, and if you're okay with that, then have at it. Have the best time you can have there. But if you're looking for the gospel of grace,
well, George, we have several people actually that are very much in the gospel, and I have the pleasure of getting their phone calls and stuff here, and some of them do attend church, and all of them affirm what you have said, and for whatever reasons, which that I never encourage anybody to stop going to anything or stop listening to anything, but every one of them concur that they hear a mixture,
I'm not advocating people quit going or doing whatever.
Right,
doing.
I know you're not.
Advocating.
Yeah, no, I know you're not.
What I'm trying to say is, if you're trying to find that place where it is only grace and peace, if there's people there, there's a mixture.
Yeah.
Well, it's what we found. I mean, our most recent experience was an effort now a couple of years ago, hard to believe.
Yeah,
2 years
ago.
And it seems like the passage in the New Testament writings that says the new wine will not be contained by an old wineskin, it seems to be the case.
Yep.
Yeah, no, for sure. And this is the point where I become an observer. I don't even know what to tell people. We're in the very early stages of this gospel revolution, even though we have come a long, long way. In the big picture, we are in the very early stages. And, a lot of people, of course, along the way have offered many different ways to put this in a way to where that it is more appealing, more attractive to people, more like church and things like that. And the question that has always come to me, of course, is, well, okay, so now we're free, now we've got grace, what do we do now? And I've never had an answer for that question. And my the progress that I have made in growing in the gospel is that I have never had an answer for that question. I still don't today.
And I don't think you or me or Glenn or anybody else ever will.
No, I don't think there is an answer, because freedom is freedom, and freedom is not
right.
Freedom is not what I tell you to do now.
Right. And anytime you get an organization, you know, even if it is an organization that starts out with grace and peace, it is going to develop into something more than that.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of structure is to consolidate power.
Right.
And while it is true that you folks that have been following this program over the years know that when we've talked to people that are in churches, we encourage them to stay.
Absolutely.
We encourage them to stay as long as they can, as long as they can take it. And we never tell somebody to leave the church. We tell people to follow their hearts.
Absolutely.
And you got me tonight, Georgie, because when we talked earlier today and you wouldn't tell me what the answer to the riddle was, I was like, what the hell is he going to say? And we found out. Well, thanks a lot, buddy. Stay in touch.
All right. All right. We love you guys. Thanks for letting me air off. And once again, I want your listeners to understand, I am no way advocating get out of what you're doing.
No,
it's working for you.
I don't think they think that.
Yeah.
You travel safe.
Okay. We love you guys.
All right.
Love you.
George Howell, ladies and gentlemen, resides in Pennsylvania, is at work tonight in Tennessee. You can follow George on boldgrace.com, boldgrace.com, as well as on Facebook. Just go to Facebook. And actually, you can go to the Friends of Mike Williams, the Gospel Revolution Facebook, and find George there, or just on George Howell. It might be a little bit more of a challenge on Facebook. But that opens up a line now as George departs. And we're waiting to hear from you on this special Saturday night broadcast of the Gospel Revolution webcast. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live, that's your cue to call in right now. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Yeah, we have this email from a gentleman in Edmonton, and apparently not familiar with the webcast. Obviously, we informed him, Michael, about the webcast, but they want to know where they can go, and you know where is there a group of people? Well, the group of people is growing. There's a lot of people on Facebook right now.
Right.
That are friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution and are just corresponding with their Christian friends. And so it is happening. And the viral effect of the Internet is working its magic. But there's something about the structure of four walls and people coming in to have to support somebody's concept of change and somebody's concept of lifestyle choices. It's not healthy.
You know what, Glenn? This just occurred to me that actually, for the first time in human history, could the gospel go out and gather people together without placing them in a controlled organization structure. I mean, we could have the whole planet listen in on a webcast and everybody gathering together, but there's not one structure put together to bring any form of consolidation of power or control over anybody's life. So really, for the first time in the history of the planet, can the gospel be sustained and proclaimed and have something happening to where that there is a constant communication between the people without that structure that has been the downfall of, it seems as though, the downfall of every attempt at doing anything like this. So yeah, that's a very interesting thing for me. It's actually possible to reach the entire world and never have an organizational structure that would consolidate power.
This is Glenn Klein online. That's Mike Williams, Gospel Revolution Saturday night. Let us hear from you now. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline. And Sean is waiting to take your call. Let's get to some emails while we have a moment, shall we?
Let us do it.
This comes from Kendall Kemp. Actually, Ken Micker, it says. Maybe Micker is one of the names of the family. Anyway, it says, "Hi, Mike and Glenn. We are having a Bible study, and I have a question for you guys. The question is about belief and the state of the world when Christ was on the cross. There seems to be some people that still believed in Christ, the thief on the cross, and the Roman soldier who said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.' That would mean that the world was not in a state of unbelief at the time of the cross. What do you guys think? Can you help us out with this?" That's from Ken Kemp.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Number one, there is not a church in the world that would substantiate somebody saying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," as a belief. And what was the other example?
The Roman centurion that said, "Surely this." He identified Jesus at that moment as saying, "Surely this is the Son of God."
Yes, and that, of course, was after Jesus had taken his last breath and also said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. And my recollection of that little story is that's when the centurion said, "Surely this must be the Son of God." But the issue is, regardless of what we might observe about what anyone may have said or done, if there had been a whole throng of people around him.
Not only what we may have observed, but our interpretation of that observation.
Oh, absolutely. And preached, myself even. But the issue is this, and that is that it is not me who declared man to be in unbelief, the entire planet to be in unbelief. It is not any other human being that by their measure or merit of one another as to whether or not the entire planet was in unbelief. The scriptures say that God declared all to be in unbelief. And regardless of some of these and I'm there's probably more than that if somebody had the wherewithal to and the interest to research it. We certainly know that the disciples all turned to and went their own way. We see Mary at the foot of the cross, at that time. The greatest implication is, though, that she was there because this was her son, not because it was the Son of God. But regardless of that, just regardless of all of that, Paul's observation of the scriptures was that God declared all to be in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. So that is the final tally. All were in unbelief, regardless of these two people. And even, like I said, I don't know of a church in the world who would substantiate that this man saying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," was a profession of belief. And then again, of course, the centurion, even if his was belief.
I've heard people teach that that was a repentance of the thief. But here's the thing, is that unless somebody makes a deathbed confession, the vast majority of churches, and certainly Christianity in general, Michael, would never say that just praying a simple prayer without some evidence following of Bible study, church attendance, tithing, what have you, certain behavioral changes, attitudinal changes, even political stance changes, that without those, that would never credit somebody with getting into the kingdom of God through confession.
Absolutely, and even again concerning the man on the cross, yeah, of course everyone has to say that that did something because Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. But that would not apply to anyone else just because they were in church and said, well, you know, I just asked the Lord to remember me, you know, just remember me when he comes into his kingdom or remember me when the end comes. They would not substantiate that as a repentance or a belief at all. They have no choice but to accept that as something because of Jesus' response to this individual man, but they would never extend it to anyone else. But, yeah, the reality of what is at stake by those who teach that there's an eternal hell waiting for every human being. This is the default. This is their doctrine. Everybody's born into this planet on their way to hell. Now, folks, you got to stop and realize how sick that is. We've got to stop and deal with some reality here. This is that, man, you think anything that I say is radical. You've got to wrap your mind around what we've believed all these years and what some of you that may be listening may believe now. We believed that everyone that was born on this earth were destined to go to hell unless, now, the remedies as far as believing in Christ, obeying Christ, obeying God, they vary everywhere. But as you were pointing out, Glenn, the absolute ridiculous statement, as Joel Osteen makes every week, that to infer to people with a smile on your face that all of any, this is eternity now we're talking about. Eternity. Not a million years, not 100 years, not a year, not a billion years, not 5 trillion years. Eternity.
Yeah, that's a long hello.
Is determined by, now, if you'll just say this little prayer with us, and that God himself then puts a stamp of endorsement on those who happen to be listening to Joel Osteen and said that little prayer, and suddenly their destiny for hell and eternal torment has changed to eternal glory in the presence of God. And then a young boy in Iran who's never heard the gospel, or even if he did, I mean, there's hardly any chance for the boy to be able to compare it to his own religion. It would be his religion is completely validated, and he already knows that Christianity is insane, and that's the infidels. So even if he heard, to think that God, because that young man, 19, 20 years old, did not say that little prayer while Joe smiles, is going now
while Joe
by
smiles
a stubborn-ass God who's sitting there saying, you didn't say the little prayer. So you are going to go to hell forever. Now, that's as ridiculous of a God as I've ever conceived of. in my heart and mind.
Well,
that is a ridiculous God. That is a ridiculous doctrine. Now, everybody knows I like Joel Osteen. He is a nice guy, and he's got some very positive things to say, much better than negative. But for anybody to conceive, and then I can hear the more radical, right-wingers, the ones that religious right-wingers that are out there, like the ones that hold the protest, you know, saying that, you know, that, you know, all gay people are burning in hell and the soldiers in coming back from Iraq are God's burning them in hell, too.
They're
radical
the,
doctrines
right,
to the point to where
the
that, oh, yeah, boy, we agree with you, Brother Mike. We agree with you. You can't just, you know, give us a fist bump here. You know, you can't just say a little prayer and change it all. You got to obey. You got to believe. You got to commit. And you got to tithe and you got to give. And then, of course, you get into the arena of that nobody's going to meet up to any of these.
Yeah, here's the reality.
Because
though,
even if it's a requirement to believe, how do you know you believe in good enough? How do you know you believe in the right thing?
Here's the reality, folks, that if you believe that your faith or that a person's faith is the determining factor on where they will spend eternity, you're in the camp with those protesters in Kansas.
You absolutely are.
That holds up the signs that says God hates fags.
I couldn't
have said
it better.
God is judging the United States because we have gays and lesbians and transgender people in the United States and that we're not burning them all at the stake.
Yep.
And that the soldiers that die in the war that the United States is fighting right now go to hell because they're defending this. You're in that camp.
Absolutely.
You think that what Jeremiah Wright and Louis Farrakhan and Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, is preaching is hateful? What you're teaching is equally as hateful and potentially more damaging and more destructive worldwide than anything that those guys could ever come up with.
Yeah,
there
because at least, see, and here we're perverting the grace of God. We're doing
right.
The fight to the spirit of grace.
Right.
I mean, people in Islam, they are not taking the name of Jesus and the word of the redemption of God and twisting it into something else. It's just a whole different religion. But to take the work of the cross and twist it into some devious little, now just say this little prayer with me, it's just ridiculous. To think that the work of the cross is the work of the cross is determined by whether or not you pray a little prayer. It's just ridiculous. I don't have words to say.
It's not just ridiculous. It's an outrage.
It is. It's an outrage.
It's a sham.
To reduce
as
the cross.
Joel Osteen makes millions of dollars teaching his nice thoughts, and then holds up the Bible as he does at the beginning of every service, and makes everybody repeat that ridiculous and absurd confession. It's you talk about something that should be criminal.
Oh, it really is. You know, and at times, you know, Glenn, that's our job. We just got to call it what it is because, you know, people get
Ahmadinejad gets all kinds of criticism, and rightfully so, for denying the Holocaust. Joel Osteen is denying the work of the cross. Pat Robertson
absolutely.
Is denying the work of the cross. John Hagee is denying the work of the cross. Ron
absolutely.
Parsley is denying the work of the cross. Ed Young is denying the work of the cross. Joseph Prince is denying the work of the cross. We are proclaiming the ultimate finished work of Jesus Christ. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's Holocaust deniers, and then there's redemption deniers.
Yeah.
And redemption took place. Absolutely fact, and they deny it. Yeah, the comparison that you made is brilliant.
They deny
to try
it,
to get
they
it on
pervert
scale.
It, they profit from it. They're war profiteers. There's a war on righteousness. And those
absolutely.
People and thousands and tens of thousands and millions of professional ministers are war profiteers. They are war criminals.
Absolutely. And they will do everything they can to prevent you from knowing that you're righteous. Because if you ever know that you're righteous apart from them and it, then you're free.
When you know that your righteousness
was imputed, when you know that your holiness, your perfection, you know, and that's another one that just burns me to the core, is that they call a specific man your holiness. One single man on earth gets called your holiness. Let me tell you something. I want to buy T-shirts for the whole planet that says, His Holiness. And get everybody a T-shirt, and we'll all have a T-shirt that says His Holiness.
Well, there we have our next caller online calling for her kitty in Spokane, Washington. You were online there, Tressa. Tressa Martin.
I didn't think you would have heard that one.
Our beautiful sister.
I thought, what in the world is that?
I thought for sure you would have told me before I was on.
What is the name of the kitty, Tressa?
Well, I've got two. They come to this house knowing that there's a sucker in this house that'll take them in.
Mm-hmm.
So that I've got two strays that I've had for a while. The big one, Tiger.
Tiger.
He's a 16-pounder.
Oh, well, you know, that's a good name for a big one, Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a tail that's twice the size of his body. He's a pretty long-tailed guy.
Lucky
and then
cat.
Grayson. Grayson's a little, he's a sweet little heart. He had a broken leg, and it healed wrong, and he didn't have a home, so he came and stayed with me. So then the third one tried to come, and I said, well, honey, I can't take three. So I gave her to the cat rescue and said, if she needs any more taking care of, just let me know and I'll pay her bill. Kind of like
pay
the
her bill. That sounds like the Good Samaritan. Put them up,
yeah,
and pay their bills.
You can't
and
have a house full.
For sure.
Yeah, we've got our next door neighbor takes care of the stray cats. She doesn't bring them into the house. She just feeds them. They are the fattest stray cats you will ever see in your entire life, because they own McDonald's. Our next door neighbor owns a bunch of McDonald's.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
She feeds them McDonald's.
They're McDonald kitties.
Yeah.
They are big. So what's going on?
There's an experiment in itself. Well, I've been just really enjoying the Hebrews CDs.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm glad you got
them. You heard it already.
Oh, I've been soaking in them. And, you know, I found out that maybe my strong suit isn't the auditory learning. And I was just wondering, is there anyone out there who wants to transcribe them on, write it out, type it out? Anybody
well, we don't necessarily have somebody who's, we've had people offer to transcribe. They haven't followed through yet, but a book is in the works. Not necessarily on Hebrews. Not necessarily on Hebrews only, but so just stay tuned, Tressa.
Absolutely.
That was the second thing I was going to ask, is because if you had something like a book or something that was in a format that started with A and went to Z, I was going to ask you, when you talked to that guy on the Alaskan cruise, that couple, remember?
Right.
I know you start with different people, you just start different places, but where did you start with him? I mean, do you share with him, this is what Scripture is, and this is how to interpret things, or...
Well, that's a great question. Tress is referencing a couple that Michael met on his trip last summer to Alaska, and these were people that he had never met before. So separating those folks, Michael, from the question, when you meet somebody who has absolutely no clue about the gospel, where do you start?
Well, the thing of it is, I don't start anywhere.
they start.
That's the interesting thing, yes. When somebody asks me what I do, I tell them that, well, I started out in the ministry 38 years ago, and that has evolved over the years, and I'm still in the ministry, but I don't teach anything near what I used to, and I live in Houston, and that is as much as I say when they ask, what do I do? Now, from there on in, if there's a question, that's where we go.
Okay.
And in this situation, that did entreat a question, and of course it's interesting if you let somebody know that, and I would encourage anyone to do this. And somebody asks you about something, if you know, are you a believer? If somebody just asked me that, I would say yes, but I have changed my mind quite a bit from what I used to believe. Well, then if that brings a question, that's great. And then they might ask, and what that question may be, you don't know. But just follow the questions, you know. It's like putting down,
right,
you know, food for kitty cats, you know. And you put down one, they're going to walk to the next one. And so, in fact, in this situation, it was probably 30 minutes later until the girl dropped her head down and looked up at me, and she said, I have a question for you. And her question was, and here is the example, you never know what's weighing on somebody's heart or what the trigger is that will set them free. But her question was, with everything the way it is, do you have any hope for the future at all?
Wow.
And, of course, I was able to respond, yes. Let me explain why. Because I realized that everything that I taught before, that there was judgment and punishment and the end of the world was coming, that all of that took place 2,000 years ago. And this is not negotiable for me, that this was something that just absolutely was the truth, and just went from there. They wanted to know about this issue, about the about my hope for a future. Now, see, I could have muddled around and told them about grace and law and a thousand other subjects pertaining to the gospel. But let their questions tell you what they need to hear.
Right.
Listen.
I've been sharing with several people, and a question I get pretty often is, so what do we do now? We're not looking for Jesus to come back. We're not looking for, you know, this or that. What do we do now?
And yeah.
I just said, you know, enjoy God.
Absolutely, enjoy life.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what you do, Tressa? You live.
That's it.
That's what you do.
You live without fear.
Yeah.
That's right. Without fear of recrimination, without fear of failure, without fear of eternity, without fear of judgment, without fear of guilt. It's a good place to live, ladies and gentlemen. We highly recommend it.
Everybody who's ever heard end time doctrine from the church, in some way, life is on hold for them.
Yeah.
There's always a hesitancy about living. And Glenn's response is absolutely right. Just live. My God, we don't know how to live. Just live. And if you say you don't know how to, just begin to live without the fear. As you said, Tressa, just begin to live without the fear of punishment and the fear of death.
Yeah.
And the fear that your loved ones and that your friends, if they don't believe a certain way or conduct their lives in a certain way, may end up spending the rest of eternity in eternal punishment and torment. When you've been a Christian your whole life, and you get to the point where you know that your so-called unbelieving friends are not going to burn in hell forever, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah.
That's beginning to live.
That's a very good day.
Yep.
My dad has been noticing my change of mind these days. You know, ever since I came to Jesus as a freshman in college, I've been trying to ram it down his throat, you know, very lovingly. But, you know, we've had such opportunities to connect in conversations that have taken such wonderful ways and just so freeing. I can accept where he is and know that he's loved and he's okay, and we can just enjoy each other. It's so nice.
Yeah, and you know, you made an amazing observation about your relationship with your father.
Yeah.
You said, you did not say, I told him about my mind change.
Yeah.
You said, Tressa, he has seen my mind change.
Yeah.
See, when your soul gets saved, it is observable.
Mm-hmm.
By those around you. You don't have to say a word.
Yeah.
When your soul begins to be saved. Now, you went through a salvation experience, undeniable, as you said, in freshman college. But now your soul, after that first salvation experience you had, you went into bondage.
Yeah.
And your salvation, not your redemption, your salvation began to be taken away from you and robbed from you grossly, until not only was your salvation gone, but your soul was in complete bondage.
Yeah.
And now that salvation is coming back home. You see, that's really what I'm doing. I'm trying to let people, let salvation come back home. You know, I don't deny that experience when you first believed and you first acknowledged. But you see, we put a time bomb in that belief system when we said, if you believe, now you're on your way to heaven. Now you're free. Now you've got Jesus. Now God loves you. Now you're righteous. But see, the time bomb in there was that if you believe. And then, of course, the multiple landmines that was planted by the organization that we were already a part in, that we had to navigate around, all of the landmines of the doctrines that we were in.
Yeah.
So not only was there a time bomb planted, but there's also landmines laid already, and you got through that. And in the condition that only you could tell us what condition your soul was in at the time. Now, Tressa, it's so wild to realize you had completely lost your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But you had never lost your redemption.
Right.
Now, your salvation is back. And see, I remember when I first believed, I remember the freedom. Because you see, anything that brings you a sense that you are now right with God, that's salvation. The concept, accurately or inaccurately introduced, is absolutely salvation.
Yeah.
That you are now okay with God, that is salvation to the soul. But like I said, evangelical Christianity gives it to you with a time bomb and landmines.
Right.
Now, what started happening to you, Tressa, then, as you started hearing the gospel, your soul started being saved again. And it's continually being saved to the point to where that you were able to say, you did not say, I told my father about my mind change.
Mm-hmm.
You said, You said my father saw my mind change.
Right.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
You just explained the whole gospel tonight.
Human.
Right after, kitty, kitty, kitty.
You know, and some people that I share with, you know, what I'm going through, I think you know the name of it, but it's like some people who overcome are going to be, you know, in the bride or the overcomers or this or that, the sons of whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So, and they have this feeling that, you know, I never am overcoming, so I'm never pleasing to God. And, you know, I kind of share with them that, you know, it's not based on what you do. It's based on who did it for you. And he's perfectly overcome everything.
You are a smart cookie.
Well, gosh, how condemning can that be?
Yeah, that's awful.
You know, to believe that.
And the thing they don't understand is we've already overcome. In him we have overcome. You are an overcomer. Even the New Testament says you are an overcomer. It doesn't say that you're going to be an overcomer. It says that you are. And you are the sons of God. We are the sons of God.
Yeah.
Now there's some
like
verses in Romans that leaves people to think. There's some verses in Romans that leaves people to think that we're not yet sons of God.
Yeah.
That there's a process. And that begins in chapter 9 of Romans,
mm-hmm.
which we're going to be debunking Romans in Calgary, Alberta. So that whole question about the sons of God, see, that's one of the topics in Romans that we want to go into and help people to see the context that there is no unfulfilled sonship. There is no delayed sonship that you're waiting for. Because in context, it's just very clear you are already a son of God.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Revelations where it has those seven times, it says, he that overcomes gets this and gets the white stone and gets his
mm-hmm.
name written here and there and
yep.
That. I mean, that's
you.
That's fulfilled at the cross, right?
You see, you're just one of the smartest women I know. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is fulfilled. You are that overcomer, and all of those things are yours in Christ.
Yeah.
Not the self-righteousness of evangelical Christianity. Or any other entity. It's just, that's good stuff.
You know, I can do this kind of Christianity. This is really fun.
Yeah, well, this ain't no Christianity, girlfriend.
No. It's what is it?
Well, this is just reality. Not
just
reality. It's just reality for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, Trust, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks for calling.
Stay in touch.
All right, honey. Take care of those kids.
We will see you there. Take care of those kitty cats.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We're up against the clock, but we're going to extend because I've got a feeling there's a few more folks who want to get in. Get on the phone now. 1-800-436-3260. That is toll-free number. 1-800-436-3260. Sean is waiting to take your call. We'll put you online right away as we wrap up another edition of the Gospel Revolution webcast known as Glenn Klein Online. 1-800-436-3260. Any comments, questions, thoughts about what we've talked about, unique questions, whatever you got. 1-800-436-3260. Tressa was at the Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston last fall. Got the CDs that she mentioned about the book of Hebrews, and then mentioned the upcoming convention in Calgary this summer, which is June 23rd through the 27th. There will be information forthcoming to you via the email, via the webcast, but especially if you do not live in Canada, you need to have a passport to get in. So take care of that as you get your information. Circle the date, the calendar, of June 23rd through the 27th. Get your passport, and then all the particulars will be coming your way. We know that the convention is going to be at the Carriage House, where Michael's had his other Calgary meetings. It's a nice place to stay, right, Mikey?
The Carriage House, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it will be right there at the Carriage House, the historical place where all of the so many of the Gospel Revolution recordings have taken place, for sure.
In fact, I'm happy to report that the information is now available, all the information, on the website at gospelrevolution.com.
Yay.
Carriage House, the reservation number, times of the meetings. It's going to be June 23rd through the 27th in Calgary at the Carriage House. But circle the dates. Get your passport process started. That documentation can take a couple of months at least. So,
and Glenn, also let me interject here.
Yeah.
When you do that, you have the option to pay $10 extra to have it expedited.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It goes weeks faster if you pay the extra. Last time I had mine done, I let mine expire, so I had to go in and start the whole process over again 2 years ago. And I paid the extra $10, I think it was, and they had it done in like 3 weeks or so.
Awesome.
But don't wait.
Well, let's get to another question. We'll give a few more minutes for folks to call at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. And if you want to call, do that now. We will get to another email question here. Are you ready? This comes from This comes from Helen Gannett from beautiful Canada, one of our listeners up there. She says, for those who still believe in the rapture, what do you say is the age of accountability to qualify to get up there this way? Assuming two parents go, does their 12-year-old and not their 13-year-old go? And are they therefore saying that we serve a God who will leave millions of children behind to take care of by non-believers? This does not sound like a very loving God to me, who would leave millions of children of any age behind, even if it is over the assumed but not biblically assumed age of 12. What happens to all the aged people being looked after by these potential set of parents? Does God leave them on their own as well to rot away? What if no one knows that they are home alone? God forbid that would happen. If they say all your children go, no matter how old, what about the adopted kids? What about stepkids? The entire issue is ridiculous. And to think I once believed this way, how very sad. And she says, what do you guys think? And that's Helen Gannett from Canada.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
St. Albert, by the way, not too far from Calgary, St. Albert, Alberta.
No, absolutely. Well, here's the deal. It's like trying to undo the riddles of the Joker, you know. And it's a great question because it's addressing something very real. But the whole issue is a joke. One of my dear friends in East Tennessee, I was talking with someone else, and we were talking about the different trigger points that people have, that, you know, the domino effect, what causes the dominoes to fall. Because it seems like people that understand the gospel, they get one concept and just, it just all falls at once without me even having to address all of the individual subjects. But because she was taught about redemption, having that you had to believe. It was so drilled into her, you have to believe, you have to believe, you have to believe, that her logic then concluded the inevitability of the fact that all babies go to hell. Because, you see, that's where that doctrine leaves you. Now, however, Christianity is always very good at loophole doctrines, because they just cannot present a God that evil. However, there are churches that do believe that all babies go to hell, that do not come to the age of accountability and accept and profess Christ. So that's where that doctrine leads. That's actually the ultimate finality of that doctrine. But
no doubt, I remember I was at a pro-life rally or a pro-life convention back in the day, and one guy was selling T-shirts and bumper stickers in the vendors hall, and he and I got to talking, and he believed that every child that was aborted in the womb, regardless of where they were at their stage of development, went to hell.
Yeah.
He said, because the Bible said you must believe.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only, in their doctrine, it's the only intellectually honest answer. But since there's nothing intellectual, but since there's nothing honest about the whole thing, of course, you know, that's, you know, that they come up with all of the loophole doctrines. But that is the truth. And then this friend of mine in East Tennessee, when she heard the redemption of the world, it was the only answer for babies. So you see, if you just think the doctrine you've been taught, the gospel will address every one of them. The problem that I have in sharing the gospel with people is they machine gun me with verses. Well, what about this verse? And what about that verse? And what about this? And what about that? And what about the end of the world? And what about Jesus coming back? And what about sin? And you got to confess your sins. And what about this? And what about that? So you see, they because none of their doctrines are coherent. They don't have a single coherent doctrine. Not a single one. And that is, it is those diversions that keep people from hearing the gospel. I love it when somebody's 100% legalistic, because they are so ripe for the gospel. But these loophole doctrines, you know, it just leaves people out hanging out to dry. The other issue is this. There is no such thing as a new covenant age of accountability. There is no such thing. The age of accountability was accountability to the law. And there is no law, so the age of accountability in and of itself then becomes irrelevant, just the same as confession of sin becomes irrelevant because there is no such thing as sin. There is no such thing as accountability, age of accountability, because there is no law to become accountable to.
Well, there you go, folks. That's the good news presented on a Saturday night.
It was our Saturday night together.
Saturday night's all right, all right. Elton John. We will not have a live webcast Wednesday night. We need the week off, so this is why we did Saturday. So you folks that are listening on the archive, this is your Gospel Revolution fix for the week. Share the information with your friends. Let them know that they can be a part of it at gospelrevolution.com. We are glad to know that the folks who ordered the Book of Hebrews series from the last convention have now received them at long last. And please know that those who gave to the last pledge drive and are waiting on their series Spiritual Gifts, Rational, Vital, Mental Disposition, that is in the works. That is happening. And in the next couple weeks, you should be seeing those. And hopefully things will be expedited from here on out. So stay logged on. You can always contact us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your comments and questions or your issues. We want to know if you think and know that you're owed some CDs from the past that for whatever reason didn't get to you, we want to know about that because we will make good on that, we promise. And you can always give a call to Michael or me, and we are available to you with any issues that you might have 24/7. Just give a call, leave a message, and we will get somebody back to you. Have a great week, Michael. Oh, by the way, in addition to the convention in Calgary in June, there is now a scheduled meeting in the upper Midwest of the United States of America.
Absolutely.
In Marshfield, Wisconsin, our dear friend Pep Washburn hosting Michael, April 29th through May 1st. So at the end of next month, Michael will be in Wisconsin. Hopefully the snow will all be gone by then.
Possible.
Yeah, it's even likely. But for those of you guys that are in Wisconsin and in Illinois, in Michigan, in North Dakota, in Iowa, even in Indiana, you may want to make the trek up to central Wisconsin, and we will have all that information available to you at gospelrevolution.com. Well, it's amazing. I was talking to Dawn about this the other day, that we would like to be able to do this several times a week, even every night, and Dawn said, well, how do you guys come up with something to talk about every week, let alone every day? And I said, listen, there's shows on sports, there's shows on finances, there's shows on politics, there's shows on every possible subject that not only are on every day, but they cover 3-4 hours a day individually for an individual host. Certainly, if the gospel is at the heart of the matter and is the truth and is the issue of life, we will have no problem speaking about it on a regular basis, which we do not. There's never a dearth of topics to cover.
Never.
Tonight we found out from George Howell that if you ever walk into a building that calls himself a church, you will never find the pure gospel there. We think that to be an accurate statement. If you find that to be different, please let us know. We also heard from Tressa Martin that there are cats to be rescued in Spokane, Washington, as well as much other good information. We want to thank everybody who participated by email as well. Continue to consider donating to this effort, United States tax-deductible donations. You just go to gospelrevolution.com, page down, and then under the donations column, just hit please donate. And it will lead you to the direction. We need your help to keep this thing going, and we appreciate everybody who is helping and who has helped this effort thus far. But as Michael, as you said earlier, the gospel revolution is truly in its infancy, and we know that, and we're okay with that.
Absolutely.
And under that, absolutely, we will sign off for this week. We will greet you a week from Wednesday. That will be in April. Oh, no, will it be in April? Are there 31 days in March?
Yes, it will be in April.
It will be in March. Have a great week, everybody. We love you. Stay in touch. Let us know what we can do for you. Thank you to Sean O'Halloran for producing, engineering, and call screening par excellence in the Tampa Bay studio. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.